Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful for your love and that we have life, which is ours through Jesus Christ, and amen. Here we are a week after Easter, and I wish on the last broadcast I had said more about holiness and Passover, and Passover being that which was celebrated after the events of ancient Egypt, where there were the plagues. And the thing that causes me to look at ancient history is the patterns, because the patterns of history repeat, whether they are a plague, like happened upon Egypt, or a blessing. And this is something we all can learn, because we want the blessings and we don't want serious consequences. So let us examine Bible truths and seek understanding and wisdom. We can look at the examples from the Hebrew people of ancient Egypt to the New Testament examples, and it is just amazing what we can learn and to know that miracles do happen. Miracles can happen right in front of our eyes even, and it depends on our point of view as to whether we see the miracles are, wow, just a happenstance, how did that happen? Or if we see that the miracles actually came from God. What an interesting perspective it is that each one of us can have. And that is a part of being a Christian, is we recognize that God is the source of all and not earthly circumstances or something that comes from the universe or whatever. We know that God is the creator and the author of life, and so it is a different point of view that we Christians have from the secular worldly view. We know that all things are possible through God, and we know that each one of us Christians has had a slightly different experience as we go through life, and there's so many things that are wonderful and so many things that we can learn from. It's just amazing to see the possibilities. And one of the things that we know we are to do, and we do whenever we have the opportunity, is to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. And we look forward to having the circumstances occur that we can have understanding and share it with others, particularly the non-believers. And it can be to the people even in our own family. Have you noticed that during the holiday time, there are people we would really like to share the good news of the gospel with? We would really like the people who we love to turn their hearts and their minds to Jesus Christ. But like in all families and all over the world, there are people who turn to Jesus and people who don't. And then it's up to us to pray for, well, no, it's not up to us, but it's something we do, to pray for their eternal salvation and their circumstance in life. Over those holidays, we do see the people who we care about. We love them, and we love the people who are unsaved as well. And somehow, we all get to figure out what we are actually going to do, and we rely on prayer and an understanding from God as to how to act and when to act. Sometimes we just blurt out something about Jesus, and other times we pray and we are thoughtful of anticipating speaking to people, or as we do speak to people. Well, it's all very interesting what goes on, and we are thankful that we have Jesus Christ in our life and how he speaks to us and guides us, and let us have ears to hear, because that is so wonderful to do, to get an understanding from Jesus Christ as we live. And certainly, as we die, it is something that we want to have our salvation settled. And that is our relation with Jesus Christ. I do know that there's so many people who don't know Jesus until those very days before their death. And we can only pray for people. And when opportunity comes along, we speak. And that's kind of the best that I know how to do. It's always a mystery to me about what actually happens. It's interesting to see, because with God, the things that happen are not always what we expect. It's back to those miracles. He can direct things, change things, and we say, wow, Lord, God, that's amazing what just happened. And then we go on and try to live in a faithful way to Jesus Christ. Yes, we do, Heavenly Father. We are so thankful that you watch over us and help guide us in your loving way. We know that God wants the best for us, but we also know that there are consequences for the things that we, let's say, we want. We have emotional wants, and we have things that make sense to our logic, and we want those too. But let us look through the understanding that the Bible gives us to get a better grasp of how we are to live and interact with people. We are thankful for our eternal destiny with Jesus Christ. We are thankful that we are heaven-bound, and we pray for other people. It's not for us to know that they are or they are not, but we do get an idea of what just might be when we talk to them. And so that's what we do. We present the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and how he loves us. Oh, yes, he does. There's Hebrews 9:27 that says, it is appointed once to men to die, and after that, the judgment. And that is sometimes a very strong point in what we can say to a person, once to die, and after that, the judgment. And that is something which people just don't like to think of, being judged and having a holy God look at what we have done. Sometimes it's a little scary for anyone, Christian or non-Christian, and that's just one of those understandings that we continually get, we continually learn, and we use to the best that we know how. So that's the one judgment when we die, and apparently there's another judgment where we get the rewards as a Christian believer. We get the rewards or the consequences for what we do, say, and think. Well, that makes me think about a very popular sermon in America, 280 years ago. It was given by Pastor Jonathan Edwards in 1741. It was a very popular sermon titled Sinners in the Hand of an Angry God. And that sermon goes on to suggest that our God is angry at sin, which hurts people, and it turns people away from God. It is a good sermon, and it includes God's mercy, and it includes the threat of God's wrath against sin. It goes on to suggest that humanity is hanging on a net that is over hellfire, and that we are all in danger of falling into that pit of hell. So we need to hang on to the net, the safety net, which is Jesus. Now, I am saying it a little different than what the sermon says, but there are threads of what we understand in the Bible as we read that sermon. Certainly, that sermon talks so much about people facing the wrath of God. And it also talks about other things like God's love and mercy. He does this in an analogy so that we can understand it and see it. He does talk about the evil in the world and the powerful people in the world as those powerful people being actually small and weak, just like a grasshopper is small and weak. And they will be small and weak in the kingdom of God. But here on earth, we have to deal with powerful things. And that's a part of what that sermon is about. There are different directions that we can see that that 1741 sermon by Jonathan Edwards causes us to look into. Well, that sermon was such a very popular sermon that he was invited to preach that very same sermon in churches all over New England. And his preaching was really the beginning of the first great awakening in New England, and that expanded into the first great awakening in America. Now, perhaps us modern readers will read more into the passages than Jonathan Edwards intended, or maybe not. Hard to say, but it certainly is a thoughtful and powerful sermon, and I invite anybody to look it up. It's a good one. It's a good one. It communicates so many things and has inspired, as I said, the great awakenings in New England and in America. So it just might inspire people today. Just look it over. Look it over if you want to. It is certainly available either in book form or over the internet. And we have more and more examples today and really each and every day about how God interacts in the lives of the people that we know. Oh, not to mention our own lives. Oh yes, God interacts with all of us. And somehow we get to make choices as to how we think and how we live, knowing about the nature of God. And that is certainly something that Jonathan Edwards' sermon about sinners in the hands of an angry God does go into. It's a powerful message, and I invite you to look if you want to. Well, there are several reasons for studying something like that, either sermons or our scriptures. And one of them is that we get to understand what goes on and has gone on in history. And we can search out the many examples of Bible history, many examples of secular history as well. And these things help us to understand the reality of today, the different dynamic forces, certainly of good and evil, but just of other complexities as well. Now, one of the things that is real is the forces that are in the world. Yes, today. And a part of that could be considered the forces that want to influence our lives in every way. Sure, economically. Sure, with our physical things like food and government and our own independence. This is one of the things, as I said, it's going on today. It is called the Great Reset. That is something the World Economic Forum and others like the World Economic Summit are proposing. that we have problems and we need a great reset in our world. If we understand what it is they're talking about, we have the opportunity to make changes in our lives so that we can anticipate the changes coming. And we can listen to those, well, big sort of powerful people, considering the worldliness of them. They have an idea of how to influence or control the general population, and we want to remain independent of control. That's something that everybody seems to want. We want to do what we want to do. And one of the things we want to do is preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, how are we going to be prepared to continue living in this world? Oh, in the general population, there's quite a few people these days who are seeing the need to be prepared for whatever the changes are that are coming in this world. And if it looks pretty obvious that the people who do not recognize the coming changes are going to suffer because, well, I think of Proverbs 22:3 and 27:12, and they are about the prudent who see trouble coming, and they hide themselves so that the trouble passes by. And that's something we all can do when we recognize what the desire is of the powerful people in the world and how we want to remain free to worship our God and to enjoy freedom. Well, this is something that we all want to do to remain free and not be slaves in the system. It is a concern of everybody who looks into it. Everyone who looks is concerned about our basic needs, from food and water to even using a computer or our smartphones. Everything is a question about how it will turn out if the powers that be want to control our lives. How would they do it? Yeah, just turn out the cell phone system, turn it off, and just see how people will be wandering around without a purpose. You know, we have a lot of information on our smartphones, and sometimes it would be just good to remember to write down the things like phone numbers and names of people who we want to stay in touch with, just in case the system does go down, whether it is on purpose or by accident. These things can happen, and that's why more people are concerned with our food supply, buying water and food and anything else that we otherwise would need if our electrical grid goes down. Well, there's lots of people who are concerned with, well, all sorts of things, from inflation to devaluation to the electrical grid going down to the problems in the world with our increasing populations. And all sorts of things can happen. We don't know what will happen, but we can see when wise people are concerned about what might happen, we can certainly look into that too and see why they think that and what they are doing. And we can do some of that to look at our own situation and see what we would want to do. Obviously, food and water is the first one, and I think warmth and community. But there's those other rich and famous people that talk about having our investments put into silver and gold. And, I mean, that's a good idea, too. It just takes a little bit of figuring out what to do and how to do it. We get concerned with the things going on today in our very economic system because we see the money buying less and less. We see the dangers of hyperinflation, And we see that there is a danger of the dollar no longer being the world reserve currency. All these things are coming to a head, it appears, and that will make a collapse possible and very serious. So, those rich and powerful people are concerned with buying silver and gold, and that's what we can do also. Of course, we can't buy just a great amount of silver and gold, but we can buy some, even a little bit. Our coins are no longer made of anything value. Our paper currency is just pieces of paper with which the government tells us their value by putting a 1, 5, 10, or a 1, 20, or 100 on those pieces of paper. There is no intrinsic value to paper money, and now even our coins have no intrinsic value because for the last 20 years, there has been no silver in the coins, and not even the pennies are made of copper anymore. Everything now is made of zinc, pretty much. I mean, it's pretty much zinc. Our coins and our currency have no intrinsic value. I just saw this about what you could call a hoard of Roman coins. And they were hidden away long ago in, the coins were dated 44 BC. So we can be pretty sure that not long after that, the coins were hidden so that their value, their owner could have the value of the coins at a later time. There are people who do that today also. They hoard their silver and their gold, and well, is it hoarding it or is it putting it away in a storehouse? I don't even know what to say about that. It could be done with either way. You just look at your heart and try to figure it out. Well, at about 44 BC, there were several rulers that came along after Julius Caesar, Augustus Caesar, Tiberius Caesar, Caligula Caesar, Claudius Caesar, and Nero Caesar. They were all Roman leaders, and at that time, there was a movement to put less and less silver in the coins because their denarius was a widely accepted money. And so the money had to have value, but they were running out of enough silver to put into their coins. So they came up with another idea, that was to put another metal into that silver coin. Oh, like copper, some other metal, and that way they could continue to mint those denarius coins, and the denarius coins would be accepted for payment of something or other, whether it was wheat or wages or rent, anything. That's what those denarius coins were used for. And they were all silver, but there was that Roman person who hid them so that he could retain his value for a later time. Today, our treasury is doing about the same thing of putting that useless metal into coins, and we may suffer the same fate of really every other country and system that has used paper currency. And that has caused every system that has used paper currency has collapsed. It just, they can't, the political people or the authorities cannot resist printing more and more of those dollars or minting more and more of those silver denarius that were not full silver denarius. It's human. It's a human condition that we try to manipulate things that are real. Well, this guy who put the silver coins away, it appears he was a statesman and a philosopher named Marcus Tullius Cicero. And he did write about the problems of reducing the silver content of Roman coins. And he said that because the value of the coins was reduced, it would influence trading and it would cause merchants and the economy to have trouble. And yes, it's true. The economy had trouble, and it adjusted to a denarius that had less and less value. So that's kind of the situation that is going on today. Our dollar is having less and less value, and the merchants all over the world are adjusting to it. They are requiring more dollars to pay for certain goods. And they are also requiring other currencies to be used, because there is a growing number of countries and people who do not believe that the value of the dollar will be retained. They believe the dollar will diminish and even fail or crash. Therefore, either the American society and or the American government will fail. So that is a sense that is going on around the world right now. And we can pay attention to the pattern that has gone on. Oh, look at the last 200 years. Sure, look at the last 2,000 years. Either way, every currency, that is, every paper currency which has existed, has become a fiat currency and has failed. There are no exceptions. Perhaps the dollar is an exception, but if you look at how the dollar has lost value in the last 100 years, 100 years ago, a $100 bill would buy $100 worth of materials. Today, a $100 bill buys approximately $5 of materials. It's a relative value, and we can always argue about the fine points of what it means and what the real truth of it is, but you cannot say that the direction is not there. The direction is towards a failure. It's towards a collapse. We have been accustomed to believing that our United States is unfailing, that it cannot fail, that we will always have safety and security. But that's not what people around the world say. That's not what people around the world think. There is a great concern that the United States dollar will no longer have value because of our institutions, both the Federal Reserve and the Treasury, are simply allowing too much money to be printed. Our Federal Reserve is not federal. It is a private banking corporation that is tied with and affiliated with central banks around the world. It is a great deception, and so few people have any grasp of that. But it is just plain true. Look into it yourself to see what the truth is. It's shocking to most people because we have been brought up with a certain understanding that we have safety and security in what we have. And now we have computer chips to tell us what the value of things are. And of course, computer digits can be changed ever so easily. In a hyperinflation economy, you can go into a country that has hyperinflation and you can look at the price tags on items. And you can see where one price was crossed off and another price is put into the price. Oh, like $100 becomes $200, becomes $500, becomes $1,500. That is what has gone on in countries that have suffered an economic collapse. Hyperinflation occurs. And while it is, we can hardly think that it would happen here, all the basics are lining up so that hyperinflation is a real possibility for the United States of America. Could we even see 50% inflation in 1 month? See, that's what some of the other countries have dealt with. And we just can't imagine. There are countries now that are dealing with 50% inflation in a year. But hyperinflation is, for instance, 50% in a month. So what would have value in a hyperinflation economy? Anything that is material and real. So a wheelbarrow would have value. Gold and silver would have value. Oil would have value. And this is something that we as a society are dealing with right now as things go on with the failing dollar. One of the things we are seeing is buying oil internationally. This is a great big issue as to if we buy $1 billion of oil every month from Russia. And Russia, what is Russia going to do with the money? Are they going to make war on Ukraine? Well, what should we do about that? We have a great big problem with our concepts of what we ought to be doing. Should we support a war in Europe? Well, our founding fathers were highly against that one. But we have situations where our good, soft hearts are doing things for other people. Like, we used to have a strategic grain reserve. But now we have given away or sold all of our grain. There really is no more than a few weeks of grain in our country at all. And nowadays, we are opening up our strategic oil reserve. Our strategic oil reserve was to be kept in case there was ever an urgent need, such as a time of war. But Biden is directing our strategic oil reserve to benefit, in a small way, the American people, in a larger way, to benefit the people of Europe. That is something which we hardly even notice. Do we agree with that? Well, it's going on, and our reserves are, what would you call it, capacity, our assets, as a country, are leaving the United States. And that includes our military assets. You know how we are supporting the Ukraine to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars? Well, actually, it's billions of dollars in aid and armaments that are going to Ukraine. And you know this is in direct confrontation to Russia. Whether it's right or wrong for you to support Ukraine, I just mean to point out right now that Russia is a direct opposition to what we are doing as a United States of America by giving aid and armaments to Ukraine. So there may very well be consequences, and we can only guess what they will be, but we can also guess that it will not be good. Because enemies do things to people that enemies do. And if we are making an enemy of Russia, just think. I know there's many people who strategize as to how to harm other people. And that is something we are actually doing. Well, we're doing it to ourselves if you really want to think about it. Just think about the 1 million illegal immigrants who have been arrested for crossing our southern border in the first 6 months of 2022. 1 million arrests in the first 6 months of 2022. And then we have to wonder about how many people actually snuck into the country under cover. Well, there are estimates that the true number is about 5 million people snuck into our country without documentation in the first 6 months of 2022. And I have to tell you, the numbers are all over the place for what an actual number of people would be who illegally entered our country. It's a guess. And some of them are not Mexicans or South Americans. Some of them are from Russia and Iraq and Turkey and other African countries as well. It's just all sorts of things are going on, and we get to figure out, what are we going to do about it? Indeed, what are we going to do about it? There is a question about what is going to happen with all the effects of forces and people and the economy. What will happen? Well, there's a whole lot of people who think that we are in a situation where a collapse of the dollar and a collapse of our country and a collapse both socially and in a governmental way will happen. We are getting closer and closer to it. And I think all we can do is see that there is a possibility and evaluate what that possibility is and therefore what we want to do about the serious situation that would occur if there was a collapse. I mean, we as a country keep doing things that are, well, they're really un-American, things that do not support our country. We call for a boycott of this or of that, and we don't realize that we can be boycotted right back. We have the semiconductors that we are not allowing go to Russia, but the United States, what's that gas? It makes a liquid that makes the processing of semiconductors possible. And we keep shipping this to Ukraine so that they can make semiconductors. It's just that there are unforeseen events that we don't expect. Just like we get aluminum sales, the sales of basic aluminum from Russia. Oh, let's see, like about one-third of the aluminum that Boeing uses to build its planes comes from Russia. And so there are all sorts of things that we just don't recognize how one thing affects the other, but it does. And we are in a position where we are vulnerable to those changes. We cannot anticipate everything, but well, it's just going to be a difficult time because we, the American people, don't see it, and we, the American politicians, do not see it. And so decisions are made that are not consistent. But we wish that people would look into them. We wish that our political representatives would look into it and make good decisions. Even though that doesn't seem to be happening, we certainly have hopes. We need to be prayerful and vigilant about what could happen to our lives here in America and the lives of the people who we love, the lives of our fellow citizens as well. Let's practice some goodness and have a godly spirit with righteousness as we go on through life. I mean, isn't that what we want? Of course it is. That's what we really want. We don't want a country and a system that has fallen apart. We want goodness and the joy of life, without war, without famine, without disease. And yet, these things do come along. And one of the things that we can have, if we do have war, famine, and disease, is we have to be careful about what we eat. A part of what we do when we eat is we have to take wholesome food into our body. Otherwise, we have, diarrhea and vomiting. And the young and the old are mostly vulnerable to having food that is not good for our body. And then, if we lose water in our body, we lose the electrolytes that cause our nerve interactions to continue. And so it's a bad thing, and people die from having not enough electrolytes and not enough water in their body. So here's what we can do to protect our electrolyte system. The simple way for electrolytes to be maintained in our body is to have a little salt and a little sugar in distilled water. Oh, let's see. It's like 1 spoon of salt and 6 spoons of sugar into a jar, like a quart jar of distilled water. Then you can add heat to that water, warm or hot water, especially if it's a mason jar, because mason jars are tempered glass. So anyway, that's something that we can have in our knowledge about what to do if somebody appears to be dehydrating. You don't have much time with the young and the old, because the young and the old are affected very quickly and they die very quickly. So keep that in mind as we are concerned with difficulties coming along in life, and that includes war and famine and disease. That's just what happens when we start forgetting about what the basics of life are. We think about, what do we think about? We think about those poor suffering people in the Ukraine, or the Russians and what's going on with them, or with NATO and how there could be a nuclear war. That is, well, things are headed that way. Will that actually happen? Who knows? But it's something we can all do to have some simple preparedness steps. And that most simple preparedness step is to have clean water and good food, or at least basic food. So those are something that we each can do. Every one of us people can do it. You see, I don't think there's a government that's going to help us. I don't think there's a church that's going to be very much help. The Red Cross isn't going to be, well, yes, they help, but not in a timely way. And so we people may well have to supply our own needs for a while if there is a disaster of whatever kind it is. It could be a natural disaster like an earthquake, or it could be certainly a war. These are things that really do happen. Or there could be a solar flare. See, just days ago, like 5 days ago, there was a warning that solar flares would be hitting or put in the direction of Earth. The sun let off 19 solar flares, including one X-class flare. So these are real things that are really going on, and solar flares, we have them from time to time. In 1923, there was a solar flare that hit Earth, and it melted one end of the transatlantic communication cable that went from New York to London, Paris. And there have been other solar flares that have hit Earth and done minor damage. This solar flare that we had just a few, like 5 days ago, it was not a big one as big ones go. Oh, They say it was a 2.2 on the X-class scale. And that's not big compared to other ones, but it is still big enough to do damage. The one that hit the East Coast in 1859, which was called the Carrington Effect, that was a X flare rated at 45, which is a huge difference between 2.2 and 45. But the thing is that these solar flares do happen, and it's something that can hit us unexpectedly. Typically, the solar flares take 2 to 3 days to hit Earth. But if they're really, really powerful, they can hit Earth in about a day. And that's just one of the dangers that we live with that can help us to understand why we need provisions, emergency provisions. Because anything can happen. And now in these days of war, we don't even know what'll happen with nuclear things. You see, a nuclear explosion can do about the same thing as a solar flare that would hit Earth. There was a nuclear detonation that was done as an experiment in 1962. It was called Operation Starfish Prime. You can look that up. And what that did is it proved that a atmospheric nuclear explosion could ruin our electrical ability to produce or to deliver electricity. And that happened in Hawaii. But it was a proof that a nuclear event can eliminate our electricity. So we have to be a little bit careful that this is actually something that we ought to be aware of and have some simple preparedness measures on hand in case it ever does happen. There was a congressional report that said between 65 and 90% of the U.S. population would die if our electrical grid went down. They would die in the first year. And that's yet another reason to have a water filter, water, and food, and other supplies right on hand. With these days, there's additional talks about an intercontinental ballistic missile, ICBM, being used. And it's something which it's just prudent to pay attention to as being a possibility. And of course, we don't want to think it could ever really impact us, but it could. One of those preparations for a nuclear event ought to be potassium iodide pills. What do they cost? $30 or $50? That's something that is affordable when you consider that, what do they call that, contaminated or radioactive iodine. If it gets into your body, it will kill your thyroid gland. And that's why you have potassium iodide to take at the early point or before a nuclear event happens. There's all these things which we can do to prepare in some small way. And we want to prepare while we can so that we can survive whatever's coming, if it's a war, if it's an epidemic, if it's something like a famine. Some simple steps can always be taken. I was listening to Lynette Zhang the other evening, and she was telling her listeners that they ought to have some preparedness things on hand. Here they are: water, food, energy, security, barterability, wealth preservation, and community. And I do think those are good ideas, but I think that community really is a very important aspect to preparedness, so I would put that way up on the list instead of there which I think was at the last thing she mentioned. Well, if things do seriously fall apart, we do want to have some very basic things to keep us going until we can plant a crop and harvest it. Because we would get tired of living on canned foods and rice, or, well, maybe in this neighborhood, walnuts or something like that. Because there's a lot of orchards up here that have nut crops. But we still have to harvest them, and we have to preserve them. And that's something which very few people actually are able to do. And nevertheless, we want to have some basic preparation for all the things that we could face, which we don't know what they are. But we are always concerned with what could happen. Ask yourself what could happen, and then take some simple and basic steps towards preparedness. Of course, the biggest thing that I think of for preparedness is spiritual preparation. And that means you want to have a relation with Jesus Christ, so that if you do die, that you have your eternal destiny secured through Jesus. I think of this thing that Charles Spurgeon said. He said, "Consider how precious a soul must be when God and the devil are both contending for your soul." Pretty interesting. Well, we want to do our parts to do our preparedness, as we certainly understand that God is a God of love and mercy, and also of consequences. It happens one way, one time, and another way, another time, depending on the whole understanding, which I will leave in God's hands, because I don't know what it is. I just know that we want to be prepared for this and for that. As we, well, I think of sacrifice for something to do with God, and our sacrifice can be doing something for someone else, just like Jesus did. Jesus sacrificed his life for all of us. And some of us will feel we want to sacrifice for our spouse or our children. And I think it's also reasonable to look at how we can sacrifice for God. One of the things you might think is easy is if we sacrifice by keeping our eyes and our thoughts holy. Can we do this? Sometimes it takes a little practice just to get to that point, because to stay holy with your eyes and with your thoughts is not always an easy thing to do. So by all means, recognize that you might have to practice for a while before you get good at it. That's, I think, the case for all of us. But we do want to consider how we can be pleasing to God, because He is our Lord. And when we acknowledge Him as our Lord, we want to be obedient to Him as best we know how. We never know quite what's going to go on in our world. There are triggers that goes on. They trigger our emotions. They trigger our physical reality. And whatever confronts us, I hope every one of us will remember that we have hope in God through Jesus Christ. That's something we must always remember, is the hope. Certainly we can look at the problems, but the preparedness steps that we take are a way of having hope. Hope in what we have, certainly, but our biggest hope is the eternal hope that we have through God Jesus. And amen. If you would like my little preparedness pamphlet, by all means, just send me a stamped self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. And I will be glad to send you my little preparedness pamphlet if you send a stamped self-addressed envelope to me. John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. You also can listen to any past broadcast by going to www.christtoday.org. It's all lowercase and no spaces, and you can click on any date that you would like to hear. Let us all remember to pray for one another. We all need prayer, and we all need Jesus Christ. So by all means, let us pray for one another, and let us walk with God. And may God walk with you as well. Amen. Shine your light, I am yours.